You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Now it's time to get down to the nitty-gritty, ladies and gentlemen. The kid is in the lead over me by two games. He has expanded his lead over Matt Wilhelm to five games. Looking to go bell to bell. His name is the kid. He's looking at the menu. May have been a bit premature to look at the menu.
Listen, as Matt Wilhelm will tell you, you got to go into things with confidence. Matt Wilhelm didn't go into a game in Ohio State worrying about who was coming at him. He felt he was going to knock him down.
This is true. It's not over until that fat lady sings, though.
This is that I know all too well, my friend.
Yes, you do. All right, here we go. The New York Jets at the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys, 3.5-point home dogs.
I'm going to have to go with the New York Jets. You're second now.
New York Jets. I agree. All right. No ground can be made up. The kid just needs to set the pace for everybody here. Carolina at the Giants. This line opened at 6.5. It's now 4, Mike.
If this was the last week of the season and it was like the clincher, I'd be tempted. But I really can't. I've heard too many people go with the whole theory that the Giants play well late in the season. So I'm going to have to pick Carolina.
I'll pick the Panthers.
I'm going to take Carolina as well. I thought maybe we could. I thought somebody was going to go with the Giants.
I was tempted.
Do you want to go back?
No.
Buffalo at the Redskins. Buffalo 1.5-point favorites on the road.
This was the game, I believe, that got me one game over you last week. And I'm going to say, sexy Rexy, I still don't believe in you. Give me the Skins.
I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills. I'm going to go down with a man who loves feet. But I'm going to go down swinging.
Redskins.
Oh, okay. The first green here for me. This could be one step closer to a straight dinner for myself. Yes. All right. Chicago at Minnesota. The Vikings.
Minnesota.
6-point home favorites.
Minnesota.
I will also take Theodore.
Vikings.
And the Vikings. Wilhelm and the kid. 4 for 4. Can't make up ground that way, folks. Impossible. Atlanta at Jacksonville, the Jags, 3-point home favorites.
Well, they treated me well last week. Don't buck them. Don't switch horses till they buck you. I'll take the Jags.
I don't think that's the expression.
Well, it's my expression. So.
I'm going with Allen Robinson and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'll take the Jaguars.
I think it's ride them till they buck you or something like that.
I think that's what it is.
Better my way.
Kansas City. At Baltimore.
Next.
Kansas City. Wilhelm.
Well, what do you want to pick, Baltimore?
No, but there are two. We'll see. There's some of these are pretty lopsided. Tennessee at New England.
New England.
All right, so somewhere there's only one difference out of it. We're going to be wrong on so many of these games, all three of us.
That's fine.
Houston at Indiana, the Colts 2-point favorites.
I'm going to go off the board here, and I'm going to take the Houston Tigers. Houston Cougars.
Why?
The Houston Cougars.
I'm taking the Texans as well. TJ Yates, too good.
I have the Texans written down, but I know this is a spot. I'll take the Colts.
All right.
What's the line?
They are 2-point favorites. You're taking the favorite.
Okay. I'll take them.
Green Bay at Oakland. Green Bay, 3-point road favorites.
Give me Green Bay.
Pack. Green Bay as well. Go Pack, go. Denver at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Steelers, 7-point home favorites.
Pittsburgh.
I like Pittsburgh in that one as well.
Pittsburgh.
Will. This is not good. This is not good, folks.
There's plenty of football left. You just said it to the kid. Why are you just hanging it over our heads now?
Because I only have one different one, too.
Okay. Well, I'm out there on a limb right now.
Miami at San Diego. San Diego, 1.5-point favorites at home. The question has to be asked, why are they favorites over anybody?
I'm torn here. Give me Phil.
Phil Rivers?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to take the Miami Dolphins.
I'll take the Dolphins.
Okay. Oh, God, it's a big one.
San Diego Superchargers.
Let me just tell you, I feel horrible about it already.
You know what?
The way I felt horrible about Indianapolis and Jacksonville last week, and they won by 4.
Could be, by the way, could be, and you felt horrible about Oakland, Detroit, which you also won.
Yeah.
Could be San Diego's last game in San Diego.
As it was in
for the Rams
last
and
night.
And we saw what the Rams did. If you whatever, for the record, in the interest of full disclosure, wherever you went, I was going the opposite in that game. Okay. If you've taken Miami, I'd have taken San Diego. A.J. McCarron and the Cincinnati Bengals at the 49ers. Niners getting 6 at home.
I think this is a sneaky one, but I'm going to have to take Cincinnati.
You saw the Niners last week. How do you not take
they're
the Niners
horrible.
Here?
Because 2 weeks ago they won. I mean, they are horrible. But
they're horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Kid, I'm not going to talk you off that cliff.
Cincy.
On, Bengals. No.
This one is actually an interesting one. The streaking Eagles fly, Eagles fly of the kid and Chip Kelly.
No.
Getting 3.5 at home
I think
against the Arizona Cardinals.
I think this is a spot that not only do I like Arizona, but I think you go to the window with Arizona. Too many people. It's the sexy pick this week. Philadelphia's hot. Watch out. If anybody watched that New England game, they got lucky. They got a punt return. They got a fumble. And then last week, again, I thought they were outplayed by Buffalo. I'm off. I just don't think that they're going to turn it around this year. I am saying strongly they're going to lose this game.
Cardinals.
It's unanimous. And finally, here's an interesting one. Detroit at New Orleans. The Saints. 3-point home favorites on Monday Night Football. Used to be unbeatable in primetime.
Saints.
This was another one where I was just, whatever you said, I was doing the opposite. Detroit.
God. Lions. Stafford's going to ball.
I think Stafford is going to ball. They just stink. I wonder if that Hail Mary just broke their will, you know?
Yeah.
That's why we're.
They
about.
Won last week. Oh, well, you're saying the Lions? Oh, they're talking about the Saints.
The yeah. Lions.
Oh, because 2 weeks ago you said the Carolina broke the Saints' will.
Yeah, and they went out and beat Tampa.
Yeah, I know.
Well, so there it is. So we both have 3 different. Miami and Detroit are going to be huge games for me and Wilhelm. That's basically, if you win both of those, that could be Irene on this contest.
Yeah. And I'm not feeling good about either one of them.
Which probably means it's probably good. And I got Buffalo, and you got Indy.
In fact, of all 4 of those games, the one I feel the best about
is Washington.
Is Houston.
Houston. I agree with you.
And that means so you probably go to the window with the Colts, and the other 3 go with me.
Kid! All right, that'll do it for the picks. When we come back, call us up, 216-578-0850. Got any fantasy football questions, you can tweet them to @Browns_daily, @NathansGurr. By the way, David Big Blue, whose Twitter handle is @ManzeldaGordon, says the Browns are winning on Sunday. Also, the kid, got to tell you.
Sounds like he might be enjoying some of the same stuff that got Josh Gordon suspended.
G.I. George says, I love the kid, but I'm saying no to all tip jars. My dry cleaner has one. And when you see a tip jar, though, do you feel obligated? I don't feel obligated.
Well, I do not.
I tip when there's not tip jars. Here's my opinion, and maybe it's stupid. Maybe I should just give myself a tip jar and put all the dollars in there, and then I'll have lots of dollars. But I just always feel if every person that person served gave them a dollar, it would change their life so much more than it changes my life to give them
It
a
is
dollar.
The giving season. But I will tell you, when I'm at Starbucks and I order my $2.95 coffee, I put that nickel in the tip jar.
But see, that's an insult. Like, if that's the
why?
Case.
Why? Either that or it's going to rattle around in my pocket and end up on the floor of my car.
If they serve 200 people, okay, that's $5.
Okay.
You do that 300. And if you do
people,
that 300 days a year,
if they
that's
serve,
$1,500.
If they
Are you
serve,
thumbing your nose at $1,500?
If they serve 200 people and they get a dollar, that's $200.
A day.
$1,000 a week. That's my whole point. Is
so they should be getting an extra $50,000?
Well, they're splitting that 7 ways. It's not one person. I'm just talking that you can make that big of a difference. That person can maybe send their kid to college based on everybody throwing in a dollar. That dollar is not, you're not going to miss the dollar.
I want to. I know.
If you do it enough, you would.
I want to know where that. Yeah, if you did that everywhere, you go into so many places. I don't go to counter places. I don't enjoy a counter. I'm anti-counter.
Okay, that's your prerogative.
You don't go to when you go to the ball game, you don't go get a drink or a beer or something?
Yeah, I'll get a beer. I'll get a cocktail.
You don't throw that nice lady a tip? Lady outside of our section in the Cavs game?
It depends. It depends their policy on the double drink.
Well, they do. They treat
when they treat you well.
They treat me just
but
fine.
I'll just
at that
do that.
Window.
I'll do that on. Yeah, I'll throw. Yeah, you could throw them something. But that to me is like, yeah, I'm fine
I'm
with that.
I'm just saying, if everybody,
but like every time I go to Subway, I'm not giving somebody a dollar because they make me a sub sandwich.
Okay,
and I do my Chipotle on the app.
That
so.
Guy, the sub sandwich guy, makes what's minimum wage now?
$8.15.
He makes $8.15 an hour.
Close.
And if he makes, you know. How many sandwiches do you think they make in an hour?
20.
I was going to say, well, at peak times, I think they're making 47.4.
Okay, and there's four of them. So they can each make you know, an extra $10 an hour if everybody gives them a buck. Or everybody gives them 50 cents even. That's an extra $5 an hour. That makes a big difference in their lives. It makes no difference
in
their lives.
Yeah, but would you rather give that dollar to a homeless person who might need a blanket? Or would you rather give it to somebody who's got a job and at least
and
is making
money? And might go outside
money?
And have a cigarette before they come in and make your sandwich.
Well, to your theory, I mean, I do believe in giving to homeless people also.
How about giving that dollar?
But the guy
every
that's
time
working,
you want to give a dollar, give it to American Football Without Barriers. And
yeah, every time. Every time.
Big play gear.
You just donated
you
a dollar. You didn't
you
even
didn't
know
see,
that.
You didn't even know it.
Here, I'll take one of my.
There's the bell. What
I'm
about.
Throw it on the table.
What about.
I'm afraid.
Or what about donating it to cancer research? Anything.
That's fine, too. But I'm just saying, like, when you give a 10 and you get your bill is $8.47, that dollar. 53.
So knowing you like I do, you give them the dollar.
Yes.
You keep the 53.
I love the change.
Oh,
he
I'm
loves
the opposite.
Change. He goes into the coin machine with like jars and jars of change. He loves it.
I estimate I get an extra $25,000 a year in change.
Love the change.
I do throw singles in there too, but I'm just saying in general, I just feel that when someone's serving me and they're in the service industry, I can make such a bigger. If everybody followed my lead, they would have better lives. And my life really
so
is not
like
going to change.
Tipping 20%. You're saying, so we just eliminate 20% tips and just everywhere tip a dollar?
No, if it's a waitress or a situation that calls for the 20%, I'm all for that. But I'm just saying at a counter situation. Now, I'm not talking about like buying a pack of gum, but I'm talking about buying a sandwich. Someone's making you a sandwich.
What about if they're handing you your dry cleaning? You're giving them a dollar.
I don't do much dry cleaning. I'm not a believer. Dry cleaning places have more environmental issues than gas stations when they sell. I don't need those chemicals on my clothes.
Kid. What do you do for a suit?
You know me. How many suits do I wear?
Not many. I don't know if I've ever seen you in a suit.
Not very often.
No, not very often. Interesting. Dino, are you back?
I am back.
Dino, welcome back.
Hi, guys.
How are you?
I'm good.
Dino, do you need a break? Do you need a break?
Actually, I think I do need a break, yes. From you guys. Yes, I do need a break.
Dino, what is your take on this? This counter tipping.
Yeah. I kind of came in here. So, the kid, give me your philosophy again. I want to make sure I have this right.
So, my philosophy is I believe in the dollar out of my pocket.
It is the giving season.
The dollar out of my pocket is not going to really hurt me. And if everybody gave an extra dollar to someone that served them, whether it's at a Subway shop or a coffee shop, if everybody gave a dollar, that person's life would be changed tremendously.
How many counter experiences do you average a day?
A couple.
Okay, so we're talking maybe you're giving away $15 a week, we'll call it?
And say I average 1 to 1.5 a day, because a lot of mine aren't places that you get
tips. So call $10 a week.
Yeah.
So we're looking at
$500 a
year. $500 a year.
Yeah, I mean, fine. I'm just, call me crazy. $500 a year is not going to make as big of a difference to me as those people making thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars more.
What if, though, you picked one person to give that $500 to? And really,
if that person serviced me the most, then they would get the $500.
I don't know if that's legal.
I don't think it's legal.
Yeah.
Sorry to get.
I'm just talking at like the Subway shop, and I don't drink coffee, so that I don't.
I feel
have
like
that.
This is the beginning of Reservoir. I walked into the beginning of Reservoir Dogs, where we're sitting there discussing, you know, tipping
Kaiser
or not.
Sose?
Yeah, that's right.
I think we better get to a break.
Yes.
All right, let's get to a break. We'll be back. If anybody wants to call their shot, I think people are. Nobody wants to call their shot, Dino. I think people. It's now a 16-point line. Maybe people feel like it's futile to call.
They're
their
They're calling
shot.
Their.
By
shot.
By the way, we didn't pick that game. I'm gonna go ahead and go.
Oh
with Seattle.
No! Wait till
the
Friday
forecast.
Wait for the Friday forecast.
I'll wait for the forecast.
Yeah. You gotta change it now.
Yeah. All right, we'll be back with more CVD right after this. I won't change it. Spoiler alert.
Don't get me started, love.
listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford's girl Wilhelm Kidd here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We got some people. We got a phone call. People don't care. Come on. We just had the best win of the season. The best game of the Mike Pettine era, I think, from bell to bell. So what if Seattle's hot? Russell Wilson. We already heard he's not elite. What are we afraid of? We did it yesterday. Browns have the advantage of three of the five offensive categories, Matt Wilhelm. I mean,
they do.
They have the edge at tight end, right?
Well, okay. Quarterback, advantage Seattle. Running back right now, you have to give the advantage to the Browns. Bryce Brown and Christine Michael off the street Crow and Duke. Just in talent.
I think running game is more a factor the way the whole offense blocks, and you can't just say.
No. We're just saying by position. Like right now, if you were Seattle,
so yes, I would take.
Seattle would trade us right now. They would say, give us Isaiah Crowell and Duke Johnson, and we'll give you Bryce Brown and Christine Michael.
Probably, yeah.
Of course. All right, so that's one. 1-1. Wide receiver, Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, Jermaine Kearse. I'll take Seattle. So yeah. That's 2-1 Seattle. Tight end, big play Gare versus.
Big play Gare. I need you.
Baby Dino.
I need you, big play Gare. 30 points this
three.
Week.
Big play.
Keep pulling Gare. Out the shekels.
I'll give as many shekels as I need for 30 points out of big play Gare this week.
That's five. Your count is up to five shekels. So okay. Advantage Browns, right?
Yeah.
That's 2-2. And then offensive line.
I'm not giving the Browns offensive line over anybody. Sorry. Based on performance?
They're performing still better than the Seahawks offensive line this year.
How many yards rushing does Seattle have for the year, and how many yards rushing do the Browns have for the year?
It's a little bit different. We have more passing yards.
How many yards rushing do we have, and how many yards rushing do they have? How many yards per carry do they average versus how many yards per carry we average?
They're only averaging 3.8 a carry with Marshawn Lynch, just FYI.
Yeah, and they're averaging 6 with the other guy.
Well, Thomas Rawls is a special player keeper on the Los Hombres of the Bucuzzi
okay,
Fantasy
but let's,
Football.
Okay, let's pull up that stat, Mr. Analytics.
All right, I'm pulling it up. Relax. Calm down over there.
I mean.
So you're saying, I bet you, though, if you called up right now John Schneider and said, you give us the five guys that you're starting on your offensive line for the five guys that are starting for the Browns, he would make that trade.
He'd be wrong. I mean, have you not
Football
watched
Football Outsiders wrote, listen,
have you
Football
not watched
Outsiders
the whole season of the Browns offensive
Focus.
Line?
Football Outsiders just wrote an article about how the Browns offensive line is actually one of the best in the league. And
Pro Football Focus also said that when Aaron Rodgers threw 5 touchdowns and 400 yards, he wasn't the best. He was below average that week. So, I mean, come on. Give me a break with these people rating. I watch the games. My eyes tell me something. Our offensive line has been terrible all year. Our quarterbacks get crushed.
Seattle
haven't run the ball at all.
Seattle has the number one rushing offense in the NFL.
I take my offensive line over that.
Hold on, though. Let's be fair about it. Their quarterback has run for almost 500 yards. They're averaging 4.6 yards a carry.
And what do we average?
The Cleveland Browns.
2?
3.7.
It's higher than I even thought.
All right, so there you go.
It's still a whole yard less per every time you run the ball. Going back to your theory of $500 with all the tips, that's a lot more yards.
So you're saying based on that alone, even though Seattle lost games because they were giving up too many sacks on Russell Wilson.
We haven't lost games because our quarterbacks have been getting crushed.
Quarterback has not been our problem defensively.
Quarterback hasn't been our problem, but quarterbacks getting the snot kicked out of them hasn't helped.
It has not helped. So you're saying you would give Seattle's offensive line the advantage. You would trade right now. Can you name three
Russell
people?
Russell Okung.
Okay, can you name three?
No. The team is the sum of their parts, and you watch the way the whole team produces, and there's no way, I don't care how you break it down, their offense is better than our offense.
Of course, that's what we were laughing about. Where this is being said, it's obvious that their offense is better than ours.
Okay, so I don't
care. But when you look at the skill position groups, right now there would be trades they've made. They would take big play gear. That's a trade they would make. They would make the running back trade, and I'm telling you, they would make the offensive line trade. They would take Joe Thomas and Alex Mack.
Let him have
Austin Pastor. We averaged 12 yards a carry behind Austin Pastor. You can't judge this line. This is a new line now. Stone Cold Steve Austin Pastor says 12 yards a pop.
Okay, well then my question is, where was Stone Cold Austin Pastor in the first 12 weeks of the season?
What was that last name? How did that go?
Well, whatever it is, the first 12 weeks of the season, if he's so good, why wasn't he in there?
Why was Big Play Gare a backup tight end until now? It's all about opportunity sometimes in the National Football League, the kid.
Well, yeah, but it wasn't like the guys in front of him were doing that well. That if he was
Joel Batonio was a great player.
he was so great that we couldn't run the ball.
I'm just telling you.
And our quarterback gets crushed every week. I mean, am I watching a different game than you? Do they not give you?
I think so.
Do you need binoculars from the sideline?
I think so. No, I've been standing in the end zone. Actually, been getting a much better view of the game. Like Saragusa. Like the goose. I'm on the loose. We do have some phone calls. Let's go to Nick in Columbus now. Nick, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? Just a quick fantasy question. I need two of the four: John Brown, Tim Hightower, Shoelace, and Jarvis Landry.
Thanks. Shoelace and John Brown against the Eagles.
I like the way, even though you're from Columbus, you show the respect.
You did. I was surprised that you didn't correct him.
Well, I call him Shoe Tree because he used to throw it around Tree, and I like the combination of Shoe Tree. But Shoelace is the correct nickname.
Yes. I'm starting him in the AFFL in the semis.
Good luck to you.
Do you think he's going to be good?
You're the expert, but
Kid, by the way, Cleveland Gollum, Smeagol, he points out something right now. Tell the kid you've probably just moved them in the next tax bracket and screwed them with the IRS. Are you going to not report this tip income? Are you suggesting a whole system, an economic system, to circumvent the tax laws of this great nation, the kid? Is that what you're suggesting?
You know, it's up to people what they do with their own conscience. When you get a tip, there's a place that's putting on your tax return for tips and extra wages. That's up to them. Far be it from me to give my business ethics to them.
Adam Schwartz really enjoyed the way that you pronounced Adam Pastore's last name, and I can't read his tweet at all on here. All right, we got one more call as well. Ryan in Seattle. Ryan, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys?
Good. Ryan, are you a Browns fan or are you a Seahawks fan?
Win, lose, or tie, I'm Browns till I die, baby.
So if you – okay, but you're in Seattle. Do you think that they would trade their offensive line for the Browns' offensive line?
In a heartbeat. I mean,
in a heartbeat.
Listen to these guys complaining in the beginning of the season.
Yes, their line was a disaster. God.
It was a disaster here, and these guys do not know football, guys. I'm sorry. This is such a young team that went to the Super Bowl, and now every fan thinks they know everything about football. The outrage that I have been dealing with for the since the 16th is unbelievable.
For the Browns?
With the Mike Pettine stuff.
Yes, I mean, with the Russell on. Wilson is not elite.
Russell Wilson has not elevated his team. They got a team around him. It's different. And people hear that one thing and they go absolutely bananas. I mean, I almost got into a fist fight with one of my buddies last night. Jeez Louise, these guys.
Yeah, relax up there. Just enjoy it, Seattle.
Are you going to the game?
Yeah, I'm going to the game. I've got my brown paper bag in the back of my pocket, but I'm going to the game.
Good for you.
I mean, arguing with these guys, really, the only argument is I'm 42 years old, so I go, look, I'm older than your football team. Don't talk to me. Go somewhere else.
That's right. Enjoy your success. Be happy, Seattle.
Right. Stop hating.
Gary Payton, Sean Kemp couldn't get it done for you.
No, and now we don't even have a basketball team.
I know. You could have had Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook.
See? Ridiculous. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Just be happy. Go chant Wilson and be happy in Seattle. Have some sushi. That's what I want when I go out there. I consider that like prime sushi area, don't you think, Seattle?
Yeah. San Diego has great sushi.
And I had some, and it was delightful. It was right on the beach.
See, I think Seattle, they do have that fish market, but I would think it's more like a filet of fish than a sushi place.
Like a filet of fish, like McDonald's?
No, like a real filet. Like you go there and you get a like a salmon filet or
ahi tuna.
Yeah.
Swordfish.
And they take you see the guy beating it with a baseball, but you know those big fish hanging down. That doesn't seem sushi to me. I once spent a week in Seattle. Glorious place.
It is a good place.
Yeah.
Mount Rainier, very scenic, Space Needle. It is a nice place. All right, when we come back, it'll be time for the Friday Forecast.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Time now for the Friday forecast.
Bring it, Dino.
Number one.
All right, guys. First and foremost, the Browns will win Sunday and shock the world if what?
Seattle doesn't show up.
I was thinking what you said.
Bus accident.
Yes.
Malfunction at the junction. +7 in the turnover margin.
Russell Wilson has a bad cold.
+7?
I think if they're +7, we win.
The Cleveland Browns will win on Sunday if we can run the football for 200-plus yards again.
I think they'll win on Sunday if they can hold Seattle below 14 points.
Kid, do you have anything else to add?
Dina, how would you answer that question?
The Browns will win Sunday if Russell Wilson is sick, if Richard Sherman and Cam Chancellor.
What would you have said before Appalachian State and Michigan?
Oh, that's a low blow.
What if there was a round table on Appalachian State Football Daily? It was like Appalachian State has to do what to beat the Blue on Saturday?
Listen, they that team won the division whatever national championship, but that's a real low blow. That's a real low blow.
It wasn't meant as a low blow. I was just trying to think of
come up with any example in the world, and that's what you get.
It's been eight years, kid.
USA beat the Russians, you know, in the 81 Olympics.
I have 7 days now to come up with something to retaliate for that.
Against what?
Emory? You better fear. I'm coming with something.
Our football team's undefeated.
I'm coming with something. I may have to go back into your childhood memory. I'll get Vince Conti on
the
phone.
Oh, he will.
Right
you could call.
Oh, yeah.
But we never lost. We never lost the game we were supposed
to
win.
I'll bet you did.
No, Vince was supposed to beat us with Holy Spirit. And he will not only will he be able to quote you the stats for every player on the court in fifth grade CYO basketball, he probably has the tape and his own jersey hanging on his wall.
Was Pedro happy with your performance?
Yeah, I always played well. Come on, man.
I always played well.
Pedro. You come, Pedro will give you plenty of stuff. I remember he got an A- on a test, and I flogged him.
All right, guys. Number two. The X factor for the Browns' offense on Sunday will be who?
There's two guys. One of them was sitting to my left about an hour and a half ago, and that's Duke Johnson. And the other one is Big Play Gare, because those are the two weaknesses of an otherwise good defense.
I'm going to say the X factor for the Cleveland Browns. Johnny Football Manziel.
I'm going to flip the script. You guys are focusing on the offense, and I think it is very important. I'm going to say the X factor.
He said
for the
offense.
Browns. Oh, on offense?
I did say question. Offense. Yes.
I was going to say the defense is really the X factor.
So you can't flip that.
Script, I won't flip that. I'm going to flip
good
it.
Good listening skills there.
I'm going to flip. Well, I was having fun. I'm doing something very fun right now. I was looking up. I was going to say Armonte Edwards would be the X factor.
I could have told you that.
A man who caught a touchdown for Appalachian State in the game against Michigan. Or it could have been Dexter Jackson who caught a 68-yard touchdown from Armonte Edwards. Oh, he was the quarterback. He ran one in, and he threw three. He played in the NFL for a while.
He was a solid football player.
Yeah, kind of a jack of all trades.
You just keep trying to edify.
No, there was nothing good about that game, but I'm just saying they happened to be.
They won a national championship. The guy played in the NFL.
Just stating facts.
Yeah. He is. It says in his Wikipedia that he was the quarterback for the greatest upset in the history of college football.
Which is actually statistically not true. The Stanford over USC with one James Harbaugh was actually a bigger upset.
From a point spread perspective?
Yes.
What was the spread in that?
41.
What?
And they won.
What USC team was that? Leonard and Reggie?
I don't know what it was.
James Harbaugh.
Was it Matt Barkley?
No, Harbaugh was
the coach.
I know.
He was the coach of Stanford.
Oh, okay. I thought he was.
And that started the Pete Carroll, Jim Harbaugh run.
Who was his quarterback?
Couldn't have been Luck. Look it up, Mr. Analytics.
It was pre-Luck.
We'll look this up. I'm going to look it up right now. Too much fun with that. So my X factor on offense is going to be the offensive line. They have got to find a way to get push for these running backs and keep this team from getting into third and long situations, which will be brutal.
Number three. All right, it's been bandied about all week. Let's settle it right here on the Friday Forecast. Is Russell Wilson a top five quarterback in the National Football League?
No. I mean, you want me to name my five?
Sure, go ahead.
Sure.
Brady, Rodgers, Ben, Cam, Andrew Luck. Should I keep going?
Yeah, I'll say no. No, he's not as well.
Yeah, we went through this. He is not.
But I think for all three of you, top 10?
I think he's in top 10.
Mike Pettine's right. He's in that next tier.
Yes. He was right. That's why it was much ado about nothing, but it was also, you just look at it and you say, maybe that's not something you say. Now, going back to it, it was also 2007, the same year Appalachian State did beat Michigan, that Stanford beat USC. Same year, the two biggest upsets. That's amazing. Same year, 41-point underdog. They beat him 24-23. Jim Harbaugh, correct, that happened in USC's home game. Yeah. And it was in the fourth quarter. USC was up 23-14 after Ronald Johnson caught a 47-yard touchdown from J.D. Booty.
John David Booty.
That's right. 23-14, they were up. Then Stanford gets a field goal to make it 23-17. And then Mark Bradford catches a 10-yard pass from Dr. Tom Pritchard to make it 24-23. You had some great names in this game. The last name of the kicker for Stanford was Belch. The last name of the kicker for USC was Bueller. And you had John David Booty.
And finally, on the Friday forecast. Number four. Yes, fans, you've waited for it all show long. It's time to call your shot, gentlemen. Browns at the Seahawks Sunday.
Seattle 37, Cleveland 17.
31-10 Seahawks.
I'm going to call it 38-13 Seattle.
Are you all hitting the window?
Yeah.
But it also almost seems too obvious. I could see Seattle coming out flat and us keeping it close. Just because 16 points is so many points. These are professional team. We just laid a whooping on the 49ers.
It's something about playing in Seattle, man.
Yeah.
Brown's going to lose 34-14.
34-14.
In that same range you guys have.
Okay. All right. I'm going to throw out a Friday forecast question of my own because I want to talk about it. It's on air. Dino, I want you to weigh in.
Okay.
One of my buddies used to work at CBS is on a plane and said that anybody who reclines their chair on the plane is amongst the worst human beings on the planet. I mean,
I think he should take his clown shoes off. That's the stupidest thing I ever
heard.
That's
a stupid comment. Especially given the world we actually live in.
You know what?
ISIS.
He's one of the worst people in the world. I mean, I never met that guy, but that's a clown shoes comment.
Bozo of the week.
Yes, it's back. Bozo of the week is that guy.
I think it's fine. Yes.
Dino back on top of his game.
Listen. If
you're a tall man, Dino.
Yes, I am. If you're unhappy about it, then you recline your chair.
Right. Everybody reclines like
Everybody
dominoes.
Everybody can recline like a domino.
Right. And then except for those people that are in those poor, those sad rows that are like, no recline in this row.
Yeah.
Can't ever get that row right in front of the exit row. It's a bad move.
Yeah, that's why I love like Southwest Airlines that lets you just pick your seat. And man, I want to get that exit row so I know I have leg room.
Do they still have on Southwest planes the row where you can fly backwards?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think they did.
I used to absolutely love that. I would always want to fly backwards.
Why?
I just liked it. It was just fun.
Just to be different.
It's great for gambling if you wanted to play cards. You know.
Yeah, you could sit there. Yeah. When you had four, you basically had people facing each other. It was like being on a train. It was very European. No, I thought it was.
Yeah.
I thought it was European. I liked it. I thought when you took off and you were going up, like it was a cool feeling.
Yeah, thought it was good. Like but come on to your friend Nathan, to your friend. I mean, come on, lighten up, Francis.
Lighten up, Francis. Excellent job there, Dino. Dynamite dropping. All right. So clearly, people. Bob Rose, by the way, you want to find a believer, and this guy's been critical of the Browns this year. He is one of our loyal listeners and I think a very intelligent guy. He's calling for the shocker. 25-24 Browns. He says the offensive line is way better with Manziel. Look at the Pittsburgh and San Francisco games. His feet change the game. It slows the pass rush and opens up the running lanes. The Browns shock the world. Would that be, if the Browns win this game, is it the biggest upset for the Browns? And what game would have been a bigger upset for the Browns? When they almost went into New England and won with Brandon Weeden a couple years ago?
Yeah, but they almost won. If they would have won that game.
It was kind of a bunk pass interference penalty, but I digress.
And also, wasn't there an onside kick recovered there too?
There was an onside kick recovered. There were a lot of things that happened.
It'd be the biggest one in a while. I'd have to look back. I'm sure that there's been some of them over the years, but it'd have to be the biggest one in a while. You know, that it is an interesting point that he brings up, though, because I do think the same way that you edified me and told me that Brock Osweiler helps the Denver running game. Maybe it is possible that Johnny helps our running game.
I think he does. But is it enough?
Yeah, that's the bigger question. They have not allowed 40 yards to running backs in four straight games.
58.1 yards per game in the last four. The defense has given up on the ground.
Yeah, they're stout.
Actually, it's in the five games. I'm sorry.
Can you explain real quickly, and then we'll take the quick break, if you can do it quickly. If not, we'll do it right after.
Sure.
Why is Ataba Rubin so much more effective as a 4-3 defensive tackle than he was as a 3-4 nose?
It's what he's asked to do. Because he's most likely not in a two-gap situation, which means he doesn't have to be in what it seems like in our defense is
– You catch a lot more up front.
We catch a lot more up front, which means that a defense is able to get a push, and then we have to be –
Thank you, Dino.
Once the defensive lineman asserts himself in one gap, a linebacker is forced to be reading that entire time and then make a move to make him right. There's nothing better than having your role defined and having it be definitive.
Right into it.
And it's like, I'm lined up in the B gap. This is my gap. If this gap moves 2 yards to the right, guess where I'm going? 2 yards to the right. You know, because you have it's and it's how you become assignment sound. And gap sound as well.
So it's just easier. He knows what he has to do, and he can
line
just
up,
shoot that
line up player gap.
Line up player gap. Well, he's been very effective there. That run defense has been excellent. When we come back, final thoughts here. Zagura, the kid, the tipper, Wilhelm, CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey! You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
All right, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. By the way, I wanted to clarify something. So yesterday in the press conference, Mike Pettine made a comment about Johnny Manziel, and a question was asked to him about Johnny Manziel and Josh Gordon, and if their friendship, if that would be a good thing for the Browns, or if it would be a bad thing for the Browns, or whatever. And in the course of his answer, he raised a few eyebrows, to say the least. People were kind of They didn't know exactly what to make of what he said. And I'll say this again. What he said was this. If this will turn out to be a positive thing if Josh is with us next year and Johnny is on the roster. And so people are kind of like, wait a second. What do you mean that Johnny can be on the roster? So he did come on the Coach Penn show yesterday and address that, saying that he was just saying he didn't think he should be speaking about guys. You know, he didn't know if they would be there. And he said, for the conspiracy theorists out there, Johnny's absolutely going to be on the roster next year. So I just want to make sure that at least on this show, that was clarified out there, because he did say that yesterday.
Okay. I mean,
kid. Kid's happy with that. I like it. All right. There it is. That's all. That is. People were very fired up about that. Like, what does that mean? Does that mean Gerald?
All of our callers all show long have been so fired up about it.
Yeah. It was big news. The number one story on Cleveland.com. Mary Kay Cabot ran with that.
That was the number one story.
Of course you do. What else are you going to write about?
Yeah. Instead of the Cavaliers beating up on, of course, Oklahoma City Thunder. So it doesn't look good, but hey, why not? That's why they play the game.
Do we have any more time left here?
Yeah.
Can we get the youngster on the mic here?
Come back in, Brandon.
How's it going,
guys? All right,
guys?
Brandon, you got 1 minute. What do the Browns have to do to win on Sunday?
Oh, man.
Can we ask him better questions than that?
Like, all right,
can we ask him about what college life is like now?
He's got a minute.
What's your drink of choice?
Drink of choice? Yeah. Oh, I just go beer. Just
beer.
How old are you?
21.
You should get into some bourbon. Maybe some scotch.
I've gone into some
jalapeno margarita.
I've had whiskey, and it was from Gatlinburg. It was really good. It was like cookies and cream whiskey. Best thing I've ever had.
Did somebody that you found on Bumble bring that to you?
No. It was a family vacation. But you want to know something funny? Connection did happen yesterday on Bumble.
Let's go, Brand C, from the show. Hit him up again.
You want to know what he thinks about the Browns game versus getting some comments out of it.
Yes. No, hey, it's good.
For Sunday, it's going to be interesting. You know, you don't. Like we said,
we have to get a
run game going with Crowell and Duke Johnson. So
we're going to chew up some very glorious time.
We want
right
to hear about the drinks and the girls.
I don't want to talk about the drinks and the girls, but it's just happening.
Let's go, Browns. Everybody have a great weekend. For Brandon, for the kid, for Matt Wilhelm, for Dave DiNatale, for Matt Fontana, and Casey Kulis, who all worked on this show today. Thank you so much for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
Driven by Liberty Ford.
Happy birthday, Bryce. I love you.
So what? We're late.
It takes a village.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.